Hello, everyone. I'm Gary Urbanowitz, your host for this Throwback FDNY podcast. Remember, you can listen to all the past episodes of Throwback FDNY by going to the website of the New York City Fire Museum at nycfiremuseum.org/throwbackFDNY and choosing the digital platform you use for listening to podcasts. Each show has three segments going back in time about the FDNY and its history. Now let's start this month's show. In this episode of Throwback FDNY, in 1882, Miss Ida Small is saved in a dramatic rescue at the World Building Fire. In 1958, the first fireboat named for a woman is launched. And in 1980, Christine Godek becomes the first female deputy commissioner of the FDNY. In several past episodes, I've mentioned a fire that occurred in 1882 that played a huge role in establishing the School of Instruction and its subsequent iterations to become what is now the FDNY Bureau of Training. Well, in this episode, in honor of Women's History Month, I'd like to talk about a central character in the story of that fire, Miss Ida Louise Small. First, some background. We all know that New York City is a patchwork of neighborhoods. You've heard of cultural neighborhoods like Chinatown and Little Italy, and industry areas like the Financial District, the Garment District, and the Diamond District. But in the 19th century, an area near City Hall was known as Newspaper Row, or Printing House Square. Around 10:15 a.m. on the morning of January 31st, 1882, a fire broke out in a building at 37 Park Row, between Beekman and Nassau Streets. It was the Potter Building, but many called it the World Building because it was the home of Joseph Pulitzer's New York World newspaper. The fire spread quickly due to the many combustibles, such as paper and ink, housed there for the printing trade. Contemporary reports stated that the entire building was seen to be engulfed upon the quick arrival of the fire department. In fact, the entire building was gutted within 30 minutes, leading to a report in a newspaper called the Fireman's Herald that it, quote, made itself notorious the country over for burning up in the shortest time on record, end quote. 30-year-old Ida Small worked on the fourth floor. When the flames broke into her office, she made haste for the window, opened it, climbed up on the sill, and closed the window behind her. Instead of facing the street far below, she turned around and faced the window. According to one eyewitness, quote, she stood in that position for fully 10 minutes, perhaps 15. She preserved the most heroic calmness I ever saw in a human being. The flames were pouring out of the window in the story directly above her head. And after a while, a great volume of black smoke burst out of the window in which she was standing, end quote. Dramatic images of the precariously perched Ida graced the front pages of pictorial newspapers of the day, like Harper's Weekly and Frank Leslie's Illustrated News. Even though it was not a tall building by today's standards, standing only five stories tall, the department's ladders only reached the third floor, putting the upper floors out of reach. Hook and Ladder Company 10 raised their tallest ladder, but it was approximately 15 feet shy of Ida's position. Firefighter John Rooney got as high as he could on the ladder, outstretched his arms, and told Ida to jump. He caught her and carried her down to safety. Firefighter Rooney was awarded the department's highest honor for his actions, and the two of them became celebrities. That fire ushered in a whole new environment for the FDNY, with the introduction of scaling ladders to reach trapped victims on floors in excess of the reach of the contemporary ladders. And learning the use of these devices, often called scary ladders by some firefighters, became a principal course in the new School of Instruction. In 1886, Ida wed Charles Henry Haight. And at the wedding, the guests got quite a surprise. After the couple said their vows, a stranger emerged from the attendees and went up and kissed the new Mrs. Haight. Her new in-laws were aghast. That is, until they learned that it was none other than John Rooney, the firefighter that saved her. The Haights resided in Yonkers, New York, and raised 4 children. After surviving her life-threatening 1882 ordeal, Ida Small sadly passed away in 1906 at the early age of 54. She was a very brave woman.
Hi, this is Patty Murphy, the Executive Director of the New York City Fire Museum. Thank you for listening to our official podcast. One of the most interesting stories not told anywhere else in the city is that of the early days of firefighting in New York. Our museum's vast collection of firefighting artifacts, memorabilia, and equipment dating back from as early as the 1650s offers a unique historical view of early New York. It relays the challenges faced by our ancestors, their ingenuity and skill, preventing and controlling fires in a setting and conditions difficult to imagine today. The museum is located on Spring Street in the Hudson Square neighborhood of Manhattan in a 1904 Beaux-Arts style firehouse. Please go to nycfiremuseum.org for more information and to plan your visit. We hope to see you soon.
Ever since the FDNY's first official fireboat was christened in 1875, all of the boats have taken on not only an FDNY company number, but also a name. The name is traditionally that of a person who has had a significant impact on the department, be they a firefighter or civilian. On January 16, 1958, 2 fireboats were christened, the Dr. Harry M. Archer and the H. Sylvia A. H. G. Wilkes. This marked the first of only 2 fireboats in FDNY history to be named for a woman. While most of our listeners are familiar with Dr. Archer, few have ever heard of Mrs. Wilkes. So, who was she, and why was a fireboat named for her? For starters, her full name was Harriet Sylvia Ann Howland Green Wilkes, but she was known as Sylvia. Born in London in 1871, she was the daughter of Edward Henry Green and Hetty Howland Green. Although born in London during her father's world travels, she descended from a long and prominent line of families in Rhode Island, Vermont, and Massachusetts, dating as far back as the early 1600s. And with that lineage came significant wealth. Among her ancestors, the most colorful was Sylvia's mother, Henrietta or Hetty Green, who became known as the Witch of Wall Street, the richest woman in the world. It seems that Hetty was adept at investing her family's money. Apparently, with that came a great degree of eccentricity, which she may have passed down, along with her fortune, to her 2 children, Sylvia and Sylvia's brother Edward. And here is where we get the first FDNY connection. While the family was living in Manhattan, at 4th Avenue and East 14th Street, young Edward became a buff of Ladder Company 3, then located at 108 East 13th Street. Apparently, while young Edward was running with the company, Sylvia was known to sit and swing on the chain that hung across the apparatus bay opening. When their mother passed in 1916, the 2 inherited her fortune, estimated at the time to be between $100 and $200 million, equivalent to $2.8 to $5.6 billion today. And when Edward died in 1936, he didn't leave his portion to his wife. He left it to his sister Sylvia. Then, in 1951, a widowed Sylvia passed. Her husband, Matthew Astor Wilkes, was a descendant of John Jacob Astor, the country's first millionaire, with his estate adding to her inherited wealth of approximately $95 million, or $1.1 billion in today's money. Rather than leaving that wealth to family members, the majority was bequeathed to numerous charitable organizations. One of those beneficiaries was the FDNY Honorary Emergency Fund, which received $3 million, equivalent to $35.5 million today. The Honorary Emergency Fund was established in 1920 and still exists. I'll tell you more about that important organization in a future episode. In 1957, the department issued a contract to the John Mathis Company for the construction of 2 fireboats. They were 105.5 feet in length, with a displacement of 290 tons. The remotely controlled deck pipes were each capable of putting out 3,000 gallons of water per minute. They were also capable of delivering firefighting foam. They had twin 500 horsepower diesel propulsion engines and two additional engines to power the pumps at 8,000 gallons per minute. The blueprints for these boats are in the archives of the New York City Fire Museum. The Wilkes was birthed in Tompkinsville, Staten Island. She was retired in 1972. So here we have a woman whose family played a significant role in American history, who spent much of her life in New York City, and who not only contributed significantly to the members of the FDNY, but who became a part of FDNY history, memorialized in the department's Marine Fleet. Today, we honor the memory and legacy of Harriet Sylvia Ann Howland Green Wilkes.
Conveniently located in downtown Manhattan, the New York City Fire Museum is an exceptional place, uniquely historic and modern. The third floor loft space of our Beaux-Arts-style firehouse on Spring Street may be rented by individuals, businesses, and organizations for meetings, birthday parties, weddings, and more. The loft space features hardwood floors, 12-foot ceilings, exposed brick walls, a vast expanse of southern-facing windows, and an equipped kitchen. During special events, guests are welcome to visit two exhibition floors where they'll experience one of the nation's most prominent collections of fire-related artifacts, gear, and apparatus from the late 18th century to the present. Visit nycfiremuseum.org/eventspace for more details. We encourage you to plan an unforgettable experience in our distinctive setting. It's sure to be a one-of-a-kind experience. Visit nycfiremuseum.org for more details.
On December 8, 1980, Christine Godek was appointed as the first female deputy commissioner in the FDNY. Prior to joining the department, Ms. Godek was the spokesperson for Deputy New York State Attorney General Charles Hines, as well as for other prominent individuals. It was Hines that brought his trusted colleague onto the senior staff of the department when he was tapped to become the fire commissioner of the embattled agency. She is a graduate of Hunter College, where she earned her baccalaureate degree in political science, and of Pace University, where she earned a Master of Business Administration degree. As Deputy Commissioner for Program and Policy Development, she was responsible for supervising the Community Relations Bureau, the Press Unit, and the Equal Employment Office, as well as for the management and assessment of all administrative support services and grants for the department. Deputy Commissioner Godek's accomplishments were nothing short of stunning. At a time when arson fires still plagued the city and its firefighters, she was responsible for a very effective fire prevention campaign. She successfully obtained grants for fire safety media and advertising campaigns that included a children's workshop on fire safety, as well as other programs targeted at impressionable youth, including a juvenile arson program in the city's schools and a citywide school fire safety essay contest. And while fire prevention was essential, she also administratively oversaw the Bureau of Fire Investigation. The FDNY Red Cap program was her doing and proved to be very successful in reducing fires in key New York City neighborhoods. The concept included placing highly visible fire marshals with, you guessed it, red ball caps, on patrol in susceptible neighborhoods. In her own words, it was described as, quote, "The first step is implementing Red Cap to increase community awareness of the arson problem and the measures which need to be taken to combat it," end quote. Next, two marshal teams patrolled the neighborhoods around the clock to act as a deterrent, but also to be able to respond instantaneously to any fires of suspicious origin. A 1983 article published in WNYF stated that the program was credited with decreasing structural fires in those neighborhoods by 11%, with incendiary fires down by 6%, vacant building fires by 37%, and false alarms down by 16%. These impressive statistics reflected the eventual demise of what has been deemed the war years for the FDNY. For her accomplishments, Deputy Commissioner Godek was presented with the George F. Mand Award. This award is made for improving the services of the department by developing and coordinating work techniques, resourcefulness, assumption of the responsibility and effectiveness of those services. And, I must admit, I am particularly grateful for Deputy Commissioner Godek for her role in turning the New York City Fire Museum into the wonderful cultural institution it is today. That's because it was her efforts to secure the donation of the Fire Museum collection of the Home Insurance Company and for spearheading the establishment of the museum's expanded home at 278 Spring Street. She wrote an article about this effort in the second issue of WNYF in 1983. Deputy Commissioner Godek resigned from the FDNY on June 10, 1983, to engage in public relations work in the private sector. But to acknowledge her impact on the department, in 1984, the Christine Godek Medal was established by Honorary Commissioner Dorothy Marks, Honorary First Deputy Commissioner Shelley Rothman, and Mr. Robert Davies. It is presented annually to an outstanding New York City Fire Marshal for unusual display of initiative, improving techniques, resourcefulness, and capability in the investigation of arson. And now it's time for our throwback FDNY trivia segment. In each new episode of our podcast, we like to test your knowledge of the department by asking a question about a fact from our previous show. Here's this month's. What very important project of the department, started by Robert O. Lowery, became the responsibility of Assistant Commissioner Collymore in 1973? The answer can be found in our last episode. And remember, you can listen to that and all of our previous episodes by going to nycfiremuseum.org/throwbackFDNY. The Throwback FDNY podcast is brought to you by the New York City Fire Museum, the official museum of the FDNY, with help from the FDNY and the FDNY Foundation, the official philanthropic organization of the department. I'm Gary Urbanowitz. I'll leave you with this important safety tip. If you leave a building during a fire, close all the doors as you exit them. This will help contain the fire. If doors are left open, the flames could spread and smoke can travel very quickly, putting people at risk. We could all do our part to be a partner with the fire department by promoting fire safety. Until next time, thank you and stay safe.